Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll look into a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with the conviction of Osama bin Laden's son-in-law on terrorism charges in a federal court in New York that the Attorney General Eric Holder considers a vindication, saying it was appropriate that this defendant, who publicly rejoiced over the attacks on the World Trade Center, faced trial in the shadow of where those buildings once stood. A human rights lawyer representing prisoners detained at Guantanamo, David Reams, joins us to discuss whether this conviction will lead to the closing of Guantanamo, something the president has pledged to do that the Republicans in Congress have blocked. Then we'll examine the effectiveness of the EU and US sanctions on Putin's Russia and what might be on the agenda when Obama meets with the Saudis on Friday. Juan Cole, a professor of modern Middle Eastern and South Asian history at the University of Michigan and author of Engaging the Muslim World, joins us to discuss whether the Saudis could squeeze the Russian economy and punish Putin for keeping the Assad regime alive in Syria by flooding the market with oil as they did after the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan. And with General Sisi announcing he's running for president of Egypt, we'll look into how long the Saudis can prop up Egypt's military government. Then finally, we will speak with Elizabeth Widra, Chief Counsel of the Constitutional Accountability Center, who witnessed the Supreme Court's deliberations over whether a business can opt out of the Affordable Care Act's mandate to provide contraception coverage for female employees based on religious objections. We'll discuss the likely consequences of a ruling in favor of the evangelical Christian family-owned business whose owners are imposing their religious beliefs on their employees, and whether this will lead to more state laws allowing businesses not to serve LGBT customers based on religiously sanctioned bigotry. And joining us now is David Reams, a human rights lawyer representing 16 Yemeni prisoners detained at Guantanamo, a former partner at Covington & Burling. He is known for his litigation on human rights and civil liberties cases, including the First Amendment challenge to the National Defense Authorization Act of 2012. Welcome to Background Briefing, David Reams.
Welcome to you.
And the jury that found Suleiman Abu Ghaith guilty in New York, and then, of course, he's a fairly high up subject, being the son-in-law of Osama bin Laden, which, by the way, was not mentioned in the trial for some reason or other, that he married bin Laden's daughter Fatima years after the September 11 attacks. But the Attorney General's using this or making the case that this vindicates his efforts to try Khalid Sheikh Mohammed in a federal court in New York, as opposed to having him locked up in Guantanamo before a military commission that still is yet to meet. So do you think that this is perhaps the beginning of the end of Guantanamo?
No, it does affect the debate over where to try terrorism suspects, the debate that's been going on since Bush first established military commissions in 2001, is where is it appropriate to try terrorist suspects in federal civilian court or in military commissions. The Bush administration took the position that these individuals should be tried in military commissions because they're essentially warriors. They should be treated like warriors and not like common criminals. Of course, Eric Holder and President Obama wanted some detainees at Guantanamo to be tried in federal courts and others to be tried in military commissions. This decision gets a lot of attention, and people are playing it as a vindication of trying terrorism suspects in federal civilian courts. I don't think the verdict is a vindication of it, and you have to be very, very careful about this. If this shows that federal courts are superior, it's not because the jury returned a guilty verdict. It's because the process was fast, the process was efficient, the process got somebody from the filing of the indictment to the verdict of the jury in a year. When you compare that to the military commissions in Guantanamo, which have yet to try the five 9/11 defendants, which have yet to try the cold bombing suspect Nashiri, and this is 12 years after the World Trade Center attacks and 14 years after the Cole bombing incident. So I do think that it's a good illustration of the efficiency of the process in federal civilian court versus military commissions. The reason I say it doesn't presage the closing of Guantanamo is that the prosecutor down there only plans to try essentially the men who are already on trial, the six, the 5/11 defendants, as I mentioned, and Nashiri, who's the Cole bombing suspect. There have been eight convictions previously. You get six more. That's 14. Who knows when the six will be tried? This has been dragging on for years and years and years. Yet there is an ideological component to it. Lindsey Graham, Mitch McConnell, and Senator McCain today said, this doesn't prove anything. These guys should be tried in military commissions. And to me, even from their standpoint, it's kind of an odd position to take, considering that the processing of criminal defendants in terrorism-related cases goes much faster than it does in the military commissions. Now, it's sort of a ping-pong game in a certain sense. A couple of years ago, this ex-detainee, Ali Ahmed Galani, was tried in New York on charges relating to the embassy bombings in 1998. He was acquitted of all but one charge. And in a certain way, people who believe in federal courts were glad that he was convicted of something. And the people who believe in the military commissions cases said, gee whiz, he almost got off scot-free, and that's why we need military commissions. So each time something happens that sort of supports one guy's argument over another, there's a claim of victory. I'm glad that Attorney General Holder praised this decision. I'm glad as showing that the federal courts can process these cases. But I just have to remind everybody, and this is sort of a hindsight criticism, I suppose, that the Guantanamo detainees against whom the administration has charges could have begun being tried in federal court in 2010. You may remember that in November 2009, Attorney General Holder announced that six detainees would be tried in federal court. That's the 9/11, five and one other. And six will be tried in military commissions in Guantanamo. Well and good. But then there was a political firestorm, and Holder and Obama backpedaled. We could have had many prosecutions in federal court in the Southern District or anywhere else, but because there's this sort of ideological opposition to treating these men as ordinary criminals, we get a system in which the government really can't prosecute detainees. In an efficient way. Mm-hmm. But again, I just want to go back. I know I've been long-winded here, but I just want to go back and make the basic point that it's not that a guilty verdict was returned. Conviction isn't the measure. Fairness is the measure. I'm sure there'll be appeals here, but it clearly shows that federal courts can handle these prosecutions a lot better than military commissions.
Again, I'm speaking with David Reams, who's a human rights lawyer representing 16 Yemeni prisoners detained at Guantanamo. He's known for his litigation of human rights and civil liberties cases, including a First Amendment challenge to the National Defense Authorization Act of 2012. Well, when you talk about an ideological objection to trying these people in federal courts or in civilian courts, this goes back to how we were sort of wrong-footed from the beginning in this so-called war on terror. One, by calling it a war on terror. Two, by, in effect, George W. Bush and Dick Cheney elevated Obama and these cave-dwelling ragtag band of his as equal players on the world stage to the world's lone Superman.
I think you mean Osama.
Pardon?
I think you mean Osama.
Osama, sorry. Yeah, he elevated Osama bin Laden as an equal player on the world stage, and they've spent a fortune down in Guantanamo keeping these people. So It seems to me that the only ideological reasoning behind this is not to teach them as treat them as criminals, is that we somehow have to say that this is a real war and these are real warriors, which is a huge mistake in my mind.
I quite agree with you. And as I say, it's counterproductive, because by taking that ideological position, the end result is that people aren't being prosecuted for the crimes that they're charged with. And litigation is flying in every direction because these are new and untested proceedings. And it's just a mess. I'll give you an analogy. You have all of these Republicans saying, we've got to cut spending, we've got to cut spending. And yet, when it comes to Guantanamo, no expense is spared. They're holding these individual detainees for, I don't know, upwards of $1 million a year, when if they held them in federal prisons, it would be a quarter of that. And I'm not giving you exact numbers. I'm trying to give you an idea of the scale. But this is another example where ideology trumps reality.
So since we started off on the wrong foot, is there any way, is it just too much in the political DNA of the country to believe this war on terror and that this is the way to go? And are we still, you know, lusting for revenge, or haven't we at this point, enough time has passed for us to be a little more rational?
Well, I'm not a sociologist, but it seems to me that the hysteria and panic and anger and desire for revenge that you had in the first few years after 9/11 and after the invasion of Iraq has pretty much cooled. People have moved on to other things. Obama himself is treating this as a matter that should be tried in federal courts when he can. I think he's trying to take the nation off a war footing, as he said. But these Republicans, and many Democrats as well, continue to cling to this myth that it's a war. And I just hope that misconception is fading.
Well, this, I suppose, then, just in closing, this is at least a step in that direction, right? You're saying they're not going to, not all of the people in Guantanamo are not even allowing them to go on trial, but some may follow, right?
Yes, and if I can just interject one other point, and I realize we're closing. One of the other self-defeating points about trying men in the military commissions is that the military commissions have a more limited ability to try particular charges than federal courts do. The jurisdiction is narrower, so the prosecutor down there cannot prosecute them for material support, cannot prosecute them for conspiracy. Both of those charges were filed and prosecuted against this defendant in this case. So that's another reason to favor federal courts, a broader jurisdiction.
Well, David Reams, I thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Again, I've been speaking with David Reams, who's a human rights lawyer representing 16 Yemeni prisoners detained at Guantanamo, a former partner at Covington & Burling. He is known for his litigation of human rights and civil liberties cases, including the First Amendment challenge to the National Defense Authorization Act of 2012. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back looking into the effectiveness of EU and U.S. sanctions on Putin's Russia.